This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, what's happening? This is the Gas Comedy Podcast. We are here. Yes, we've
right, now,
got everything.
Dusty's not here today, so Dave Lentz is here. Let's just go around the room and see what's happening. We have no one here today.
Except Wim Duff, because Wim Duff is always here.
Is that your real name?
No, Eric Jansen is... I mean, of course, Eric Jansen is my real name.
Eric Jansen, say a little bit about yourself while I readjust my microphone.
Okay, no problem. I am Eric Jansen. I am a recently started comedian guy. I have been doing this thing for 2 years. And I'm on a podcast, which is amazing because I get to give insight about new people coming into the business.
Oh, that's amazing. I actually got a bit of a semi there just from you. Hang on a minute. When you say you're a new guy, when you say you've been doing comedy for 2 years,
yes,
are you still considered a new guy?
I've
been doing something for 2 years, if I work at Anglo for 2 years, I get a watch and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't get any watches. I didn't even get a
microphone.
So the comedy
industry doesn't give you a watch.
Nothing. They start paying you eventually.
I saw a thing the other night.
I started getting paid.
You said you got your first paid gig at the Box.
Yes.
I cannot believe that.
Yes, that is amazing, man.
No, but are you being serious?
No, genuine.
Because you often host there, like a pre-host.
Yeah, I do the welcome. When the guys aren't there, then I'm in charge of doing.
And when you say the guys, bringing people
up. The guys, the Jason Goliath, the Donovan Goliath and the Nicholas Goliath.
So you do
if
the
they're
pre-host.
Not there, then I go on and I'm like, yo, because they're not here, I get to do this. And then I do this and then I bring the guy
okay.
on.
It's the only club I know of, can I be honest with you, in terms of, we're going to talk about that today, that's our theme, at a venue where they have a pre-host, where the guy comes and says, this is how the bell works,
when
the light goes on, this is where the toilets are, you kind of like a pre, so it gives the, you know what I like about it?
It includes the audience, yeah.
I never liked it before because as the host, I've got to say that.
Yeah.
But you know what it did? It took away all that announcement-y boo.
And then you've got like
you
5 minutes.
So often as a host, you're coming on and saying, listen, next week we've got a great show.
Oh, yes.
There are the toilets smoking outside.
Oh,
don't
yes.
make a noise because it's a residential area.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, people are looking and going, this guy's not funny.
Exactly.
Because you're doing
now
admin
you're
announcements.
Being, yeah, now you're being an
and
administrator.
And I didn't realize what Jason was doing, but actually what he does is he gives you the opportunity to walk on stage and be funny from the go.
From the go.
Now
yeah.
I've wondered if maybe other venues shouldn't also just run that as a recording, saying how's it everyone? This is how the show's gonna work. Toilets there. But yeah, they're learning.
Yeah, they're learning.
We are learning.
We are all learning. That's what we are doing.
So
wait,
that's what I have.
What are we supposed to be doing?
Well,
today?
Here's the thing.
Like, the guy
Dusty,
is not here. Dusty's not here.
We're
he left
phone
us.
Him. We're gonna
and
phone him.
Fran as well. He was like, you guys suck, and then went back to the corporate world. So what's happening?
I'll tell you what's happening. If I tell you what's happened yesterday.
Okay.
First, let's start with the day. It's Friday.
Friday.
And it's legitimately Friday. Hey?
Yes. We check.
Because sometimes we pre-record these shows.
Yeah.
And then it's a Wednesday.
No, this is
I think
live.
You can hear in my voice it's a Friday.
Yeah.
Can you?
You got that Friday voice.
And then on the way out, this is how you start these things. You say what you did on the way here.
Yes.
I played golf yesterday with a guy called George.
Okay.
And the amount of questions this guy had, he said, I've never met a comedian before. It was almost like he was opening presents on Easter morning. And this... The amount of questions he had. Have you ever had that, Eric?
Wow,
where
yeah.
People in comedy, they ask you so many questions.
Ask questions. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was so interesting because I thought he's obviously a market of millions of people out there in South Africa who don't know certain things about the comedy industry.
Yeah.
And then I was taking for granted, like, obviously we know that.
Yeah.
This guy's questions were brilliant. I wish I could have him in here. And I think maybe if we do this again, we're going to have what's called a word on the street or total stranger.
Yeah.
Where they come in, they know nothing about the comedy industry.
And then they must
they
just
don't know anyone's
say
names.
Whatever comes to
the
mind.
Guy even, he said, hey, I saw Jimmy Rastine.
Whoa.
You know Jimmy Rastine.
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy Rastine is one
Such
of the
a
funniest
funny
guys.
Guy.
probably funnier than Joey, which isn't that difficult. But
okay, yes.
He saw Jimmy Rastine and I was listening to him. So that's made me realize that we've got to start from the beginning.
Yes.
And that's what I love about the Gas Comedy Podcast.
Yes. We are going to giving industry. You the fundamentals.
There you go.
The foundation.
So then.
Cool. So what do we
go
do?
Go home.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. You were saying, yeah.
So I've got a golf ball in my car somewhere.
Right.
But now when you drive in your car, if you put the brakes on, the golf ball goes forward. If you pull off, the golf ball goes backwards. So now, yes, there's nothing more irritating than a golf ball running around your car. So I figured out that if I could put my brakes on, I get the golf ball to go forward
to
the passenger side.
Yeah.
Then if I turn left, the golf ball will roll towards
to the right,
me.
And then you'll
then I'll pick it up.
It, yeah.
Sounds simple, hey?
Yeah.
But I'm in the traffic now on Rivonia Road.
Oh, shit.
Thank goodness. As you come off the highway, you turn left.
Turn left.
And I turn left, lean down, grab the golf ball, put it in the cubby, put it in a little console. And I'm thinking, that should be an advanced driving course like test.
Catch the golf ball.
We're going to put a golf ball in your car now.
And you have to do the course and pick up the golf ball before
you finish. And you have to hand it in at the, you know, when you park your car? If we don't get that golf ball,
we're
finished.
The timer stops once you're
in. Shouldn't Grand Prix drivers also have to do that?
Wow.
So actually, that was just my thing. Anything you on the way here?
Nah, I didn't have anything special happen. Yesterday, went to the gym, got home. Yeah, chilled.
Do you gym?
Ate chicken. Yeah, that was fun.
Is there like a special albino comedian section at
yes,
the gym?
Yes, the light skinned people. We gym in the dark because all of us glow. Right. So then did the gym thing.
But you, as an albino comedian, why are you wearing a bright yellow hat? So it actually looks like you're a full stop.
Some people
get
some people can see me. That's the thing. I have a problem with not being seen. Not being seen. So I need to be seen during the day as well.
You know Dylan Oliphant's line, hey?
I'm almost
Tandeka. She was the brightest student.
Yes. I'm that guy. So yeah, this is why I wear the beanie. And then what else happened? Fuck. And then on the way here, I was listening to...
We're not going to swear today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't actually swear. I just said flip.
Okay.
So, did that thing. Came here this morning and, spoke to you.
And gigs. And have you had any gigs recently besides the box on Sunday?
No. I've been taking a break.
You get one paid gig and you're taking a break?
Yeah, I'm that guy. No, I'm joking. I've just been tired and lazy.
How the comedy industry works. You do another gig and then another one. Yeah. And then another one.
And you don't stop.
All right.
But okay. I stopped.
So it's cool. So that's you. You're here Friday. So we just want to wish everyone a happy Friday.
Hi,
then,
Friday.
Here's what happened. I got home last night, and from Dusty Rich, Dustin Sean Rich on my phone, it says on here. He said, Dave, I've sent you some voice notes. I've sent you voice notes for how to run the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the voice notes.
Let's go.
And as we play the voice notes, we will then do the show. So let's go.
David, texting is very slow. So what you do is you do the welcome of the show. You come and you say hello and et cetera, et cetera. And maybe do a little bit of a snippet about what's happened in the news.
Okay, cool. So
that's it. So
we welcome you to the show.
So far, so good. We've followed Dusty's. Let's call this the lore of Dusty.
Lore of Dusty for comedy podcast.
If you want to do, if you want to do a podcast at home in your own time, you can set up a microphone and Dusty Rich, the Dusty Rich says,
can guide you.
You do a, what
you
do, say
do a welcome. So welcome to the show. This is the Gas Comedy Podcast. You can listen to us live on cliffcentral.com or alternatively go to the cliffcentral.com on Twitter. So at cliffcentral.com and download the app. You can listen to us via the app. Also tweet us at Gas Comedy. We are here. We are live. We are doing things. And
what you do is you do the welcome of the show.
You see, welcome of the show. That's us. Yes. You can find us on Gas Comedy on Facebook. And www.gascomedy.co.za. Subscribe and we will send you a gig listing and you can find the gig listing there too. Cool.
Now listen,
welcome.
That
done.
Is podcasting 101.
Yes.
The next thing he said next was this.
Then you go into the first segment, which is some comedy, a comedy clip that you found somewhere, or a comedy clip that you like, and you play it. You can play it on YouTube. You can play it whatever they, you know, some.
All right. Okay. So according to Dusty, we now play a clip that I found.
Comedy clip.
What I did was I typed into YouTube comedy clip that I like. Because obviously the computers know what you like these days. The computers are patched into your psyche and the back of your brain, like in that movie.
Yes.
So YouTube knows what I like. So it mostly came up with porn. But there is an actual... Can I play it?
You should have seen how Lady Duncan
looked. So this is our first comedy clip for the... And I'll tell you exactly why I'm playing this when it's done.
Okay.
Okay, go.
That's fun. You ever hear anybody get that? They call it the walking farts. You know, my grandma used to get that all the time. She had one of them weak bladders, you know. Every step she take, I'm going to get the mail. Man, she get to running after something, sound like a machine gun come out there sometime. Them daggum cats. Grandpa hit the dirt. We're getting shot at. We're getting shot at. Shut up, Grandpa. Grandma got to walking farts. Now put your pants on and get out of the ditch.
Ah, that's so funny. Out of context.
Now,
that's hilarious.
Is it out of context?
It's now, out of, but in context.
The reason why I played that is when I listened to Larry the Cable Guy long, long time ago, someone told me about the tour that they do. It's called the Working Man's Tour or something like
okay.
that. That tour travels around America, obviously to mostly probably the southern states.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he is like that.
He is the southern. Guy, as so. You guys can hear, he sounds like Mater from Cars.
That's what I'm playing because when I hear Mater, my kid watches Cars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going toe. And I'm like, hang on a minute, that's Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy doesn't know that. Yeah.
That's one of the funniest comedians in the world. And here is Mader talking about stuff. And sometimes Mader says some stuff farts. That's fully innuendo.
Yeah.
Like he'll say, and you're like, because he talked about being towed and backdoor action and all kinds of weird things that ends
in
up
the
in cars.
Movie. Yes.
Okay, so now the next thing.
Yes. Okay, cool.
According to, should we go with
done.
What we do?
Go.
Okay.
Keep going.
Some sort of a device and they'll jack it into the system.
Right.
They see, now you've got to wonder where the hell Dusty was, because there's people in the background.
There's people in the background, and he's talking about jacking stuff into the system.
According to Dusty, this is what he needs to do next.
So, and then you go and...
Okay, I think we go into something called news.
Up. Let's try that again.
I didn't mess
that
again.
And you teach the audience about something to do with comedy, whether it be, you know, the genres of comedy or the background knowledge of comedy or something like that. Then we would do another...
Okay. All right, so let's do this. What are we going to teach them?
I'm going to teach them something today. I did a gig at Parker's.
Okay.
Night. It was actually Dusty's, one of the final shows for the improv.
Yes.
Called, what do they call it?
The Wednesday show.
Stick it out, stick it in, something like that. The Wednesday.
Yeah, the Wednesday show, yeah.
And a story got told to me by Ryan Whittle. He did a gig, and I'll tell you the gig was for, and the story will make sense.
Right.
That someone threatened him in the parking lot afterwards for his comedy.
Fuck.
No swearing
cake.
Today. Just fudge cake. What we've got is... A guy that's probably the nicest guy in comedy. I don't know if anyone's met Ryan Whittle or seen his comedy.
Yeah, I've met this guy.
His clothes don't fit, and he's just this happiest guy. He's got some...
All seven of you that are listening.
He's got... Sure, exactly. He's probably listening.
Yeah.
But if you take that guy being threatened afterwards at a comedy gig...
That's
now, what's comedy
nice.
Essentially?
It's just Eric, jokes, man.
And it's about finding a fun way to deal with how shitty life is.
Yeah.
So...
You're trying to escape the fact that you could be threatened on the day.
And he had to actually leave quite quickly. Now, I will tell you, it was for the Germiston Panel Beaters Association.
Okay, no wonders. You want to do panel beating.
So they wanted a panel beating.
I'm going to fix you. And then
it made me think. Now, this is the education part of the Dusty. Yeah, this is the...
Right.
So, and then you go into, it's called Comeducation.
Comeducation.
I love the way he actually says what it's called.
Yes.
So and it's called Comeducation.
No, but it
no,
is.
No, Dusty, there's like no
I've
such
got,
word.
I've got the PDF, it's Comeducation over here. Yeah, right. Anyway.
So what, did he give you like a
no, this has been the format. Like
so you've had a format the whole time?
No,
and I'm
man, I'm saying he sent us the format with right. the keywords.
So
right.
Comeducation, I'd like to teach people about
education.
Venues and how sometimes it can go wrong. Purely based on the space that you're in. You might have the greatest comedy set up, you got the things, and all of a sudden, things can go wrong.
Haywire.
And exactly. So, I'm going to play a song now, because this song I heard this morning, and it reminded me of one of my ex-girlfriends. I won't say her name.
Wow.
It will remain Cheryl. But I once found a toothbrush at my house.
Okay.
And I was like, this isn't my toothbrush.
This isn't mine.
And then I eventually found out that it was hers. And she said, no, sorry, I left it behind, Then I found a necklace that was also hers. Then I said, hang on a minute. Are you moving in? Because guys, if you're single, you're like, you can't just leave your toothbrush, man. So this is a cool song which this guy actually wants her to leave her toothbrush behind. Are we hitting it? This is just we enter it now. Comeducation.
Yeah.
Coming up after this.
So.
And then you go into, it's called Comeducation, and you teach the audience about something to do with comedy, whether it be, you know, the genres of comedy or the background knowledge of comedy or something like that. Then we would do another.
Okay, cool.
So listen, we've done that.
That's going to happen.
I taught some people about venues.
About venues, but you're going to hear more about it just now.
All right.
But first, we have this weird, cool.
Do you want to do comedy news?
Is that part of the...
Oh, well, let's see what Dusty says.
Then I would do another comedy clip, and then I would go into industrious.
Okay, cool.
I think news sounds like a nice thing.
So here we go. Do we have a sting for news?
We have something for news. Yes.
Okay, hit it.
Let me just go on to my thing.
Do you do the sting?
Things. Huh?
Like, is there a musical sting that says, welcome to podcast?
No, it's just normally, it's normally musical.
Is that what we do?
So, what we have in the news today is something really amazing.
Do you have to put like a weird helium voice?
No, no, I don't have to. Okay, in Jacksonville, Florida. So, if you are from the States and you're listening to this podcast, thank you. And speak to your people, please, because two people.
Speak to your people.
Have
like, you got to gather
two
them
people.
Around.
Yeah, like, gather everybody in Jacksonville and tell them, guys, stop.
Wow,
it.
They named a city after Michael Jackson.
Because what happened was, there was a couple in Jacksonville who got arrested for selling golden tickets to heaven at $100 a ticket.
With does that come with the streetwise?
Do you think they have streetwise?
Actually, speaking of streetwise, if someone sold you a ticket to heaven, golden ticket, how much was it?
It was $100. So
but just check the photo of the two people.
The two of them look shady. Look at this. Look at this. Like, would you buy tickets from these people? No.
Another one's fully cracked.
Yeah,
she's got the full crack.
She's got the full
teeth missing. The stuff. She's got like the crack Halloween kit like I bought for my kid, which he wasn't allowed to wear.
Okay, so here it is. The guy says, I don't care what the police say. Because I think this is what they sound like. I don't care what the police say. The tickets are solid gold. I ain't cut up 2x4s and spray painted gold paint on them.
Which
and
is what
Jesus,
he did, hey.
Jesus was the one who gave them to me in person behind KFC and said to me that I could get some money to go to outer space. I met an alien named Steve who said if I got the cash together, he'd take me and my wife on his flying saucer to his planet that's made of entirely crack cocaine. You can smoke all the crack cocaine you want there, totally free. So try to send an innocent man to jail and see what happens. You should arrest Jesus because he's the one that gave me the golden tickets and sell them. I'm willing to wear a wire and set Jesus up. So that's what he said. This bra is putting this thing on Jesus. And then his wife was simple. His wife was just like, we just wanted to leave Earth and go to space and smoke rock cocaine. I ain't did nothing. Tito sold the golden tickets to heaven. I just watched. So... yeah, I mean, the fact that this bra and his wife were selling tickets is frightening. Because now you guys are at the back of KFC just with randomly.
You know what's nice?
Tickets.
Is often whenever I've seen Jesus, it's never been at my house or like in a cool spot. Whenever I see Jesus, it's always behind the KFC or like at the back of the thing. It's never at the main places where you expect to see him, like at the churches. It's always so these guys did that, eh? Tell me now, we'll come back to the story. Do South Africans, do you think we'd be as gullible? How many tickets did they sell? They found $10,000.
$10,000, so what's that?
What?
1,000 tickets sold.
That's 100,000 rand. Wow. Hang on a minute, there's a surprise phone call. Who's on the line?
Barry Hilton.
Ah, it's Barry Hilton.
Barry, I've got Eric Janssen here. Are you familiar with the
Barry.
Comedian?
How's it, guys?
Cool, how are you?
Oh, fantastic, man.
Amazing.
Well, Barry, you're just on a whirlwind tour. You've just been to the amazing Espresso set. Espresso, is that where you're coming from?
Yeah, I just got off now. I'm about to drive home.
Okay, I don't want to repeat the interview, but what were you chatting about there?
Oh, just about my new show, Evolver.
Evolver.
And my clothing range. And
your range of coffees and your range of key rings.
yeah.
Okay, cool, man. So you're driving home at the moment?
Yeah, I'm about to drive. I'm waiting for you.
All right, man. We get it now. We get it.
Nice guy.
I'm a concerned citizen.
Okay, good. But now, Evolver, are you going to try and get Volvo to sponsor it?
No. Evolver. I'm actually going to try and get the National Gun Association to sponsor it.
Wow. Oh, no, or you could get the Gynecologist Association, because vulva is also a part of the anatomy.
Wow. This is lovely.
That's getting below the belt.
Literally, hey? Well, unless you wear your belt really low.
Nice.
Sure.
Now, Barry, welcome to the Gas Comedy Podcast. We're going to be talking today, kind of educating people about venues. Do you have like a horror story about when you first began about venues and how to fix them?
Oh, yeah, man. I did a stag night in Peterborough in England.
Jeepers.
And I went to this venue and it was just a blue movie alive. You know, and these strippers were doing all the weirdest things that you've ever seen in your life.
Did you see any of the Evolvers?
I'm not a food, and I saw lots of Evolvers. I'm not a food and all that, but my show, as we know, is family friendly, so I started just telling my family funny stories, and they threw me out.
I know.
Because they wanted, like, They want the stuff for the mana.
They want
but now, don't you think that's such an important thing? Like, these guys who book us for these venues, often they just go, come do comedy, it's going to be great. And they've chosen their worst night at their bar. And within a month or two, obviously the comedy night becomes their best night. But no one actually inspects the venue and says, hey, guys, we can't do comedy here.
Well, often you go to a gig, you know, and if you take a venue, if you go to a corporate, and you've done this many times, and then you'll see there, and you say, hold on, where is the stage? I know the stage is there. And you say, but hold on. You've got all these Amazon rainforest displays on each table, and nobody can see me. No,
you know what? It seems so simple for us because we've done it so many times.
I personally think there is an opportunity for somebody like you as a comedian, an experienced guy. You'll notice I didn't say funny.
Okay, I heard.
No, I love you.
I know where you live. I can send ISIS to Hermanus, brother.
Wow.
It's an opportunity as a comic to go and be a consultant to function, to say, listen, you really need to put the comic over here. You really need to have line of sight. You need to have decent lights. You need to have
sound.
That, because people seem to forget that. And often, I've been to a guy who says, I'm starting a comedy club. Come and help me. And I'll go there, and it's like a restaurant, and there's like pillars all over the place. And then they can't understand why they can't take a full service while you're on stage.
Barry, I'm loving the stuff you're saying now. You're like almost literally preaching to the choir, because I've recently did a gig now where the guy said, come to my bar. We went upstairs. He's got a poker room. But he doesn't tell me about the poker room. He shows me the venue downstairs. We're talking. Exactly what you're saying. There's a dance floor. So obviously we're going to be behind. You know that railing that they put on the dance floor in clubs in the East Rand?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's like it's to keep the gorillas out of the dance floor with their babies.
Specific. Wow.
So now I look at the dance floor and say, haven't you got another room? And he doesn't say anything. He's like, we're going to do the comedy here. Listen, check my lighting. So he shows me his full lighting rig, but it's lasers and things. I'm like, come on, man. Comedy doesn't need that. An hour into the meeting, I go upstairs and I just have a beer upstairs and say, what is this room? He says, no, this is the poker room. You just play poker here. Now, in the poker room, there's not a single bar, like a pillar. There's a sound system because they do their announcements. There's TVs on the sides because they have their things. I say, why don't you have the comedy here? He goes, oh, no, I didn't think you'd want to.
Wow.
So, you know,
he's got the venue and doesn't even know.
If we stray slightly from comedy clubs, how often have you gone to a venue and they've said to you, would you like a drink? Now, personally, when I go to a venue, I say, thank you. I'll maybe have a drink after the show, but at the moment in time, I'm working.
Yeah.
And they say to me, what do you mean you're working? This is not work.
Yeah.
An idiot can do this.
You know how many times that people have said to me, we saw you at Parker's. Yes, you were so drunk. And little do they know, I don't touch a drink until maybe after the show. What I'm doing I'm going to the level of the audience where I'm saying, I'll be one of you, but I'm still going to remain sharp.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, that what you said about that, you know, you go to Parker's, and many times I've gone to venues or I'll meet somebody in the restaurant or something, and the guy will say, Baz, have you still got that dirty beck? And I say, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
They don't remember.
No, you and I were in Flip and Durban at the Lonsdale working together, and before your show, you got so pissed you could hardly walk, and the jokes were the bluest I've ever heard in my life, but yes, you are funny, bro. And I say, well, for one, I've never worked a Lonsdale Hotel. And two, I don't drink. And three, I do not swear on stage. So, but
you can't argue with him. You know what? Because in his mind, he's got that image, and that's it. It's done.
Well, they have this image. And in fact, I'm doing a talk at the moment, a little like an inspirational talk, if you will, motivational, inspirational, upstairs at Barry's. And I tell about how difficult it is for us comics, because we get put into these boxes. Somebody comes along, and I used to work in strip clubs, as you know, because that was the only work there was.
Yes. Well, I used to work in strip clubs, but not comedy.
Yeah, but, well, I know. Yes, but we had quite a gay time. So, anyway, they would just say, oh, no, we can't book you for a corporate because you're a stripping comedian. You just tell dirty jokes and all that.
So come and see the show.
And they just come to the show and have a look. But if you want to talk about shows, and I worked with some really good guys the other day, Sandy and I, you know my wife Sandy, we live in Amarnas now, and for the last 5 months,
we don't need to.
We've been having a comedy club in a venue in Amarnas. We moved the venue after 2 months because we outgrew it after 2 months.
Because you played it.
And the last three shows have been in this great venue. It holds like 110 people at a push. You have to share tables with some other guy.
That's the perfect. Food is like,
you can buy a packet of crisps if you want, or you can buy slop chips, or you can buy a hamburger or whatever. You know, it's like.
And what's the venue called?
It's called The Classroom in the morning.
Wow.
So we are learning.
No, but I'll tell you what happened there, David. It's the fact that the guy heard about it and said to us, why don't you come to my venue? And I said, here's the deal. I want a stage. I want light. I'll buy the stage, and I want space for the stage. I want to get the light properly. You can use my PA that I've got at home. This is how it works. And the guy said, oh, okay, that's cool. You tell me. And then I will respond to what your request. And I said to him, well, bloody hell, that's got to be a first.
Exactly. Barry, I'm gonna wrap it up with exactly that. I want to talk to you again on this because, I mean, obviously we can talk to you on the phone in the middle of nowhere. We're going to talk to you again because it's exactly like that's what I want. Ask the comedian, say, hey, what do you guys want? Say, you know how many golf clubs you go to? You know where the sound system is at golf clubs? Tell me. Sound system at golf clubs is in the roof.
They don't think about that.
It's up in the roof. So they say, no, but that's nice for announcing the prize winners or for saying the tee-off times. For doing comedy, you cannot have a sound system in the roof. Sound doesn't travel down.
And they don't understand it. They spend like $50 million on a golf course.
Exactly.
And they buy the PA system from online.
So from Checkers.
But Barry, it's been so lucky having you. This is my first podcast on clipcentral.com with Gas Comedy. So I'm going to talk to you again because obviously you're the oracle.
I want to tell you something. You're so much better than Dusty Rich.
Wow. That's...
Now, that's wrong to say because I want to just tell you. No, I've never heard Dusty Rich work, but I've heard he's very good. And I've heard he's gone to Australia, and I just want to just pass on. Dusty Rich, go smash them in Australia, my bro. Because South Africans can do it anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Barry Hilton, phoning us out of nowhere. We didn't plan this at all.
You are amazing. Thank you, sir.
Get in your car. We love you. Drive safely.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleep Out, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleep Out on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleep Out on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
This is CliffCentral.com.
My little babies have all grown up. You know, I listen to that song night after night, and I think, gee, religious people have such beautiful music and art, and atheists really have nothing. Until now. This is the entire atheist hymnal right here. A little tune called Atheists Don't Have No Songs.
Christians have their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Hava Nagilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues.
Romantics play
Clair de Lune. Born again, sing he is risen. But no one ever wrote a tune for godless existentialism.
For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing
a song of faith
in their songs.
They have a rule.
The he is always lowercase. The he is always lowercase.
Some folks sing
a bacchantata. Lutherans get Christmas trees. Atheist songs add up to nada. But they do have Sundays free.
Pentecostals sing.
They sing to heaven. Coptics have the Book of Scrolls. Numerologists count to seven.
5, 6, 7.
Atheists have rock and roll.
For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing a song of faith
in their songs.
They have a rule.
The he is always lowercase. The he is always lowercase.
Atheists.
have no songs.
Christians have their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Baba Negilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues.
Catholics dress up for Mass
and listen to Gregorian chants.
Atheists just take a pass.
Watch football in their underpants. Watch football in their underpants.
Atheists.
Atheists.
Don't have no songs.
Don't have no songs.
Wow. There you go.
Then I would do an
bottom of the phone.
And then I would go into Industrious Bastards, and that is a segment about who in the comedy world is doing good work and what they are doing with that good work. And then finally, at about 9:40, I always phone a comedian and speak to the comedian on the air about what.
We're ahead of time.
You know what's cool is even though we have the rules on how to run a podcast, we're still messing it up.
We're still messing it up. Still.
Okay, we've done the cool stuff. So let's go to the start. We welcomed. We did some news.
Yes.
We played a comedy clip.
Yes.
We then phoned a comedian.
Yes.
We then played another comedy clip.
Yes.
Plus we played a song, and I thought it was Ja Rule, and you said it's Rick Ross.
It was Rick Ross.
Shows you how jacked up I am.
Wow, beautiful.
But you can tell by the comedy I'm playing.
Yeah. That like you really are of the 90s. Of age. Of 80s, of
but
70s.
This is what I want to talk about. Let's talk about Industrious Bastards. So many guys that do comedy, I say to them, you know there was a comedian before you did this? And they're like, huh? I'm the only one. I'm the first person who did this joke. I'm like, nah.
I've heard this before.
What I like to do is play things like Steve Martin, play things like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Just to show the heritage. What would you call it? Like the timeline of how comedy has worked. Yeah.
The evolution of comedy. I think that's why Barry Hilton did the whole evolution thing.
But think about what he said there. He said, why don't I, me, I'll talk about this in another podcast, is other streams of income. When he said, be a consultant to these conferences. How many times you've done your first paid gig at the box?
Yes.
Your first corporate, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to meet a thing called a events coordinator.
Yes.
They're going to say, you're going to do your comedy, then we're going to have dessert, then you're going to do some comedy after dessert, then we've got 70,000 awards, and then you're going to do some comedy again. And you're looking to say, now when did comedy ever work when you split it up into those segments? You get the crowd going, and then they're going to eat dessert.
And then
what if you don't eat dessert? What about that guy who wants to continue with the comedy? Then they're going to put you on the stage with a massive dance floor in front of you. Comedy's intimate. Comedy's like, hey, how are you doing? What's happening?
It's a conversation.
Exactly. So you're on this stage with a massive dance floor. Put the comedy in the audience and have the band on the stage. Comedy isn't a... I'm not a magician. I'm not going to pull something out of my ass. Although I do.
But you're Dave Levitt, when you can do everything.
It's interesting to talk about that. But we had... That's... And now... Let's go back to your news item.
News. So
we played a bit of a religious song. Yeah, by the way, that was Steve Martin. He's an excellent comedian, musician. He's won Grammys.
Wow.
I mean, comedians can obviously win Grammys for spoken word.
Yeah.
He's won Grammys for his banjo and his band.
Okay.
Now, we were talking atheists have no songs. I always wondered, like, when if a girl is screaming, oh, God, and she's an atheist, who does she talk to during her orgasms? But these guys sold golden tickets to heaven.
Yes.
Sold a few.
Sold
so
a thousand.
To assume?
A thousand. Because, I mean, 100 by 1,000.
Do you know what else? Did you read the rest of that story?
What else?
They found in their bag, they had $10,000 and a this and a that. Just read what they found in the bag there, please.
Five crack pipes and a baby alligator. What?
See, I didn't want to say it. The way you said it was like discovering for the first time.
Wow.
So, you know when you go to jail and you hand in your belt so you don't hang yourself? You hand in your shoelaces so you don't hang yourself? So like
hilarious.
You go, and they have to name the items when you go to jail.
Yeah. $10,000
in cash, and they put that in the bag and they staple it.
Five
crack pipes. And then they name the brand of the crack pipe. Obviously, there's the Rick Ross, the Ja Rule, the Eric Jansen, the Dusty
Dave Levinson.
There's no Dave Levinson.
Right, okay, part. Cool. Carry on.
So and then they're announcing the stuff.
Baby
one
alligator.
One baby alligator.
What? You heard
me. They have to tag it. And then they put it in the cubbyhole with the locker there with like a bowl of what do baby alligators eat? Like dog more. Or like some biltong. So then when they get out of jail, they come out and say, where's my $10,000? Sorry, that was used for the court case. Where's my crack pipes?
The baby
Sorry, we gave those to evidence. Okay, can I have my baby alligator back? Yes, sir, you can. But now they've been in jail for 3 years. They looked after this alligator. And he comes out.
Not a baby alligator.
That's not the baby alligator.
I want a baby alligator.
Now, this is what
funny.
I thought about. So these guys sell tickets. Don't you think they use the alligator as a threat?
Yeah.
Because if you don't buy
the
ticket.
They use the alligator as a scapegoat. Like, if you guys don't buy the, scape alligator.
It's very good scapegoat.
If you guys aren't
going to
buy the tickets, I'm not going to feed the alligator.
Kill the alligator.
Yeah, I'm not going to feed the alligator.
Oh, this is what I also thought as well. It's a very religious show. Sorry about that. But maybe there were alligators in the water, and that's how Jesus walked.
Oh,
and a lot of
Jesus
people never saw the alligators. No,
then,
he didn't pick one.
For this guy to get his crack pipe story right, I mean, he had a story about
there's Jesus on the water, and he's like, he walks on the alligators like that. And people go, wow, he's so good. Meantime, he knew where the alligators were. And that's how he hopped across like that. Just a thought.
Just a thought. So, you're going on the gullibility. So
how gullible are South Africans? If you and I went down to, let's choose a Rocker Mamas because it's down here, behind Teasers.
Right.
And we sold golden tickets to heaven, how many would we sell? Let's call it $100 even.
Not much. I don't.
You think South Africans aren't gullible?
Not that
then,
gullible.
Go to your next news story.
Not that gullible. But then again, in Pretoria, the controversial snake pastor is back in the public eye, this time after images of him surfaced driving over two of his congregation members.
Okay, let's just do a backstory. This is the same guy who drank the boiling water out of the kettle.
He drank pet. No. He's the guy that instructed the people to eat the snake.
And the knives? What
and
about
then
the knives?
The drinking of petrol as well. Is it the same? Yeah, it's the same guy. It's
so you realize, you've noticed a lot of reptiles. A lot of reptiles being used in religious imagery.
Yeah. It's weird, though.
So he eat the snake?
It says, he did the eating of the snake thing. He did the petrol thing. So it says here, the man of God, Prophet Peniel, demonstrated the power of God by running over two congregants. He commanded both of the members to sleep, followed by moving the car over them. The man of God then commanded them to wake up while the car was on top of their bodies. He then asked them if they felt pain, and the response was, "We do not feel anything."
The response was, "We don't feel anything." So what car was it? A Discovery?
I mean, they should have discovered that something was wrong.
I like the fact that two people from the congregation actually came forward. You know when you have a lotto at church?
Yeah.
They say, we need two volunteers. And normally at church, you volunteer because you're just going to make cakes or you're going to help with the communion. You're going to be a deacon. You're going to help with the collection.
Yeah.
But you know when you put your hand up and you go, we'll volunteer because we're good Christians.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, get under the car. And you're like, oh, no. The
decision. You shouldn't have
immediately
volunteered.
Regret this decision. So he rode over them in his Land Rover Discovery.
Right. He proceeded by reversing the car back. And
oh, no, so he reversed.
So then he reversed off them and then commanded
did he
them
have his,
to wake
my
up.
My car's got those sensors. Must have been going bedonnet, hey?
Yeah, right. So he commanded them to wake up. By amazement, they stood up and began to dance and praise God together.
I don't think they were dancing. Have you ever kicked your toe on the side of the bed? Do you know that dance you do? It's not that you're happy.
It's pain.
It's doing that painful dance.
That's funny.
So they made it, hey?
So yeah, that's
but there's a part of your body that can compress completely if it was over the stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also, I mean, that's dangerous. So does he have any lawsuits against him?
No, he's been doing his thing, man. I mean, there was another pastor that commanded that his what you call it, his congregation just start masturbating in church.
Hey, listen, who's not done that? That is a handsome guy on the cross there. What is, according to, let's go back to the Bible, the podcast Bible, what does Dusty want us to do?
This is
and it's normally a comedian who's got like a one-man show coming up or something like that, so he can do a little promo
the
for them
call.
And then finally do some comedy news at the
and
end of
the
show,
wow.
Which is just like anything that you think is funny news. So that, yeah, that's the setup. Sorry for all the 1,000 voice notes. Enjoy.
We did two news stories,
you know what's nice is
two comedy clips, and a phone call already.
Do you think we've outdone ourselves?
We've done ourselves out completely.
Do you know what I'd like to do is leave early. Because why must we stay here? So do you have like a sting that you play at the end of the show and we can just get out here and then they get 15 minutes of radio silence. And then we just get the sex guys in.
Wow.
Because it's called premature podcasting. So we just leave. We say, listen, we filled the mandate. We did a welcome.
We did everything.
We did news. We interviewed a comedian.
Comedy
should we phone
clips.
Another comic?
Do you want to phone another comic?
I think so. Hey, I think we should give. I think we should give Jason Goliath a call because he knows a little more about these things than I do. So I'll give you his number and we give a call. So if you want to play a little, we'll call him now live on air. Can I phone him on this very phone? Well, watch this.
That's amazing.
You know what it says on my phone? Strangely sexy fat guy.
Because that's his tag, man.
What does it say on my phone for you?
Albino comedian. Because Dave didn't know my name until last week.
Do I just put it on for speaker?
Yeah.
All right. So now, listen, give me some one-man shows that are coming up. You said
one-man shows. Clip Shampoo on the 8th of July. Donovan Goliath at the end of July. Chris Forrest's one-man is currently running.
Hello. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Wow, that's very clear on my iPhone there. We're on the podcast at cliffcentral.com. How's it going? Do you ever listen to this?
Yes, of course.
No, there's no pressure. No. You really don't have to lie.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, that was easy. Okay, now, what we're at the point of the show where we've run out of stuff to do. Do you know when that happens? You know when you're doing when they say you've got 20 minutes and you only do 15 and you've got nothing?
Yeah, and you just blank, I know.
Okay, so that's what I've done. I've now phoned you because what happened, let me give you a rundown. Dusty left for Australia.
Okay.
And he said, Dave, take over the show. And but we haven't told Cliff Central that I'm taking over the show yet. So we basically
terrorists. Just sneaking in.
It's just snuck in, but no one's chucked me out yet. So they obviously have really low security standards here. But,
yeah.
But so far,
also white guys seem to be able to sneak in and out. Colored guys, not so much.
I've got an albino colored guy with me.
I'm still here, Jason. Eric is here.
Eric,
oh.
Yeah. I haven't. You know when a new guy comes in and he gets rid of the team. I already got rid of what's that other guy? Farhan's duct. You know when you come in, you're like, Farhan, we're doing a bit of a restructuring of the podcast.
No Rhodesians.
It's amazing that I still call it Rhodesia because I'm old.
That's funny.
So we got rid of him. So he's gone. And that's just, I'm just looking at Eric going, what's the use of him? He wears like a yellow cap. He matches the Cliff Central logo. Is he such a suck up that he wears the company logo on his head?
I also don't trust people with perfect hair. Like, Farhan has Lego hair. Doesn't clip it off.
Everything is awesome. He has, and his eyebrows match as well, like symmetrical.
Yeah, I know.
So he's out. Then, here's the thing. We were talking about venues today. I want to tell you something. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. What you did in the time that you did it, I think you started comedy in 2012.
I celebrate my 5-year anniversary on the 3rd of next month, the 3rd of July 2011.
So it would be 2011. And that's, I mean, yeah. I'd seen you in the Castle ads, I'd seen you, and I'd spoken to, in fact, Rob Van Furen said to me, this guy needs to do comedy. I said, well, I've seen him on the ads, what is he like? He said, he's flippin' funny. So that was from the first time. Then, what you've done in those 5 years, I think internationally, you didn't realize that no one's done that. No comedian or group of comics has said, let's open a venue of an international standards. And I took a friend of mine from America to your club the other night, and he said, this club is sexy. That was the word he used.
That's a nice word.
So, in terms of that, and he just said there's a wall there with the things, you could shoot a thing. Yeah, he started like dissecting the club to every minute little thing, having been overseas as well and seen clubs. So, from me to you, I just want to say well done on your venue, but that doesn't mean just because everyone's blowing smoke up your ass and saying great venue that the work doesn't start. The work actually starts now.
No, for sure. I think it's more pressure than ever now, because now we've instead of just now just having fun, now you've built a multi-million rand venue that you have to pay for and make work.
And am I right when I talk about commitment? Have you sold that nice convertible BMW to pay for club things?
Well, it's not exactly to pay for club things, but the convertible BMW had to go.
It's like for us. It's like for Ron. Your convertible had to go because it was too perfect.
It was nice.
Well, I think we've basically hit the nail on the head. So sometimes you've got to give.
But would I say that that's part of the commitment to what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
cool. It is. And that's just sad because damn, I've never seen you love that thing, man. There's a part of you.
Look, I did, but that's the nice part. Is it kind of become simple? You know, comedy is my favorite thing, and it was, you know, BMW is my second favorite thing. So you choose your favorite thing. That's kind of how we engineered, I think, at our core.
Okay, and we're trying to theme the show today, and I've themed it on venue. So obviously we've spoken about your venue. Do you have like a horror story of when you first started comedy? I'll tell my story towards the end of the show. But have you been to places and just thought, what the hell am I doing here? Tell us something about that.
You know, I hope they're listening, but I did a...
The seven people are listening,
seven
plus
people
you
on the podcast.
And Eric's mom.
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hello, Eric's mom. I did a gig with Donovan Goliath, and we just started for... one of the Greek communities, and they're from a specific island, and it's, you know, there's like a chairman, and it's a whole lot of protocol stuff. But it was in a split level restaurant in Bedford View. I can't remember what the name
exactly,
of the place
was. I live in Bedford View, so I know the Greeks.
Yeah, so it was the split
level. They have a photo
restaurant
of you up there. Said this guy's not allowed in this club again.
Yes, basically, and essentially, you know, so what happened was because there were 300 people and because it's split level, you could only get 100 people per level. So we were invited to do comedy for 300 people, but only 100 people were going to be able to see us. All 300 were going to be able to hear us. And we were going to go up after the chairman, and the chairman is this hugely respected thing. They made a big deal. And the chairman went up and started talking, and people didn't even turn their chairs to look at him. Like, they didn't even stop their conversation.
No. That's basically
right. He carried
on
talking. So he welcomes us up, and then we find out that the kitchen entrance is literally a meter from where they put the microwave. Not the microwave, the microphone, sorry.
There is a big difference. I just want to point that out. The people, no, the seven people that are listening never do comedy with a microwave. You had a microwave on your mind.
But that's the point. I might as well have been holding a microwave.
Don't you wish that some guys could do their comedy set in a microwave sense? Where you, I know you've got 20 minutes, but please can you do five? Then you bring out the microwave. Yeah. It's much quicker.
Well, essentially, that's what happened. Is we were booked to do 20 minutes, ended up doing 5 minutes each because people didn't stop talking. Waiters were just walking past us, like, consistently.
So this comedy podcast basically says industry things. Someone broke a plate. That's Greek.
No, then somebody broke a plate by accident. Then it was, whoppa, and then everyone broke plates. Oh, it was like, oh, man, nice.
And you were just concerned about all that food going to waste.
Well, yes and no. I was, you know, that's the one thing, dying, a comedy death will make you lose your appetite, even
very
for
fast.
Me.
Okay, let's talk about that then, because the podcast vibe with Gas Comedy is that we teach people about comedy. How can we fix that? Yeah. How do we tell a venue, guys, you can't put the microphone at the entrance of the kitchen. You can't have a CEO going on.
You fix that simply. You don't tell the venue anything. You make whoever's running the gig understand that there must be certain elements in place before you start, because venues are venues. But,
so we've had Barry Hilton on just before you, and he spoke about something very clearly. Pillars. You do a comedy gig and they've got pillars. So Radizio's got that actually in Bedford View. They've got pillars, but they've actually turned the stage around and do it on the side. But it took a year for them to discover that.
Yeah, but for me, we've got there are like basic rules. Number one, there must be line of sight. So whoever you are performing to must be able to see.
Line of sight. Okay, give
sight.
Me two more, then I'm going to wrap this up. But I'm phoning you again next week because this is too much fun.
Yeah, so line of sight, there's got to be a microphone and a spotlight. If you can get those three elements down.
Perfect.
Now listen, how simple was that? Anyone doing a comedy venue, a microphone that's actually plugged into a PA that works, not that one that's works. In the room,
yes.
Or one of those Barbie doll ones that you get from Cash Converters have got a PA with a mic. And as soon as you touch that mic, it goes...
not that mic. No, exactly. So line of sight, good sound, and lighting, you're going to win every day of the
week. Jason, from your big juicy lips to God's big fat ears, I want people to know that. Amen. Okay, well, we got quite a
there
religious
we go.
Thing going
yeah,
on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah.
So, amen to you. I'm going to phone you again. I think this has been fantastic. Well done on your venue. Just give me the lineup for this
Thank
weekend
you.
If you've got it.
So this weekend we've got a small lineup change. This evening's headliner is Tats and Konzo. We've got Martin Davis hosting. Martin Davis is on.
Okay.
We've got La Zola Gola, Alfred Adrian, and the juicy act for me is Mark Banks, who's always just
But you know, when you say the word juicy and Mark Banks in the same sentence, you know,
you're asking for backstage trouble.
Jason,
people.
Thank you for doing my first podcast with me.
And Loiso Gola headlines tomorrow night. So tell
Serious?
To come through. All seven of you, I expect you there.
Away.
Okay, cool.
Bye.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Eric says bye. So that's how podcasts work.
Yeah.
The main thing is...
We made it.
I want people to know that there's probably comedy somewhere close to you. And I wish we could... I want to come up with an app similar to Uber that just says, where are you now? There's a comedy
club 8 meters
from where you're standing.
Yes.
And I want people to go and see the good comedy and bad comedy because then you get a reference. Because people come to me, remember that place in Greenside? What was it called?
Mishmash.
And it was run by Warren Robertson.
Yeah.
And every time I was on, it was either raining or storming, and there were like 20 people there. And I said, Warren, we do the show. Let them see what comedy is about.
Yeah.
The show goes on. So we did comedy for 20 people. Guess what? Next week, John Fismas is on. Place
thousand
is packed
people.
Because of me. The week before.
Nice.
So any comedy gigs got before we close?
Nah. pretty much just visit the website, guys. Come on, please go to Gas Comedy.
And it's updated regularly.
Updated always.
By who?
Every week.
Sorry, we didn't phone Dusty. We were going to phone Dusty.
We're going to
leave. I'm going to leave this little studio.
This is weird.
In 10 seconds.
We did a whole show.
Duncan, I want to thank you for driving the show.
Thank you, Duncan.
You are fantastic.
Thank you, Dave, for being
part of the show. Hey, listen, I'll do this again next Friday if I can.
We didn't swear.
You know what's nice? At the end of the show, we always say,
go fuck yourselves. Cliff Central. Revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.